number 16 and read through chapter 17. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant and infallible. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God stands forever. Numbers 16, we'll begin reading at verse 41. Hear the word of the Lord. Reading from the ESV. But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer, and put fire on it from the altar, and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone out from the Lord, and the plague has begun." So Aaron took it, as Moses said, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague was stopped. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house, from all their chiefs according to their father's houses, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on his staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony, where I meet with you. And the staff of the man whom I chose shall sprout. Thus I will make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against you." Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and all their chiefs gave him staffs, one for each chief according to their father's houses, 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among their staffs, and Moses deposited the staffs before the Lord in the tent of testimony. On the next day, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. And Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the people of Israel. And they looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony, to be kept as a sign for the rebels, that they may make an end of their grumblings against me, lest they die." Thus did Moses as the Lord commanded him, so he did. And the people of Israel said to Moses, "Behold, we perish, we are undone, we are all undone. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Are we all to perish?" Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word, and we pray that you would bless its reading, bless its preaching. Lord, we pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are warm to your truth. Work in us to make us more into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray in his name and to his glory. Amen. We saw last Lord's Day, in the earlier part of chapter 16 here, that those who brought a complaint against the leadership of Aaron and Moses were either incinerated by the fire of the Lord or swallowed up alive by the opening of the ground beneath their very feet. And this was done in front of all of Israel. The whole company saw it. And you might imagine that after such a visible and dramatic demonstration of the Lord's power, and His justice, and His perfect judgment, that would bring an end to the grumbling and the complaining and the rebellion, but not so. We see in our passage here in verse 41 that the very next day, the congregation of Israel wakes up, and again they begin to grumble and complain about the leadership provided by Moses and Aaron. And at this point in the story, you can't help but begin to think and notice that this is utter madness. In fact, their claim here in verse 41 is that Moses and Aaron murdered the rebels of Korah. And that, in fact, they were not rebels, but they refer to them as the people of the Lord. You murdered the people of the Lord. It could not be further from the truth. It could not be any more inaccurate. Well, it's a very similar incident again here. They're rebelling against Moses and Aaron, and then, as before, the Lord appears in His glory. And He tells Moses and Aaron to move out of the way because His judgment is about to occur yet again. And Moses and Aaron again fall on their face, and they begin to intercede on behalf of the very ones who were attacking them. But then, at this point in the story, there's a significant change, a significant turn of events. It's different from the way the story has gone down repeatedly so far. As the Lord's wrath begins to show itself, this time it's in the form of a plague, before it was in the form of fire or in the form of the earth opening up. As the Lord's wrath begins to display itself in its perfect righteousness and its perfect holiness, we see that Aaron, rather than moving out of the way, Aaron takes his censer, fires it up, and he runs into the midst of the people. The very people who are being judged. By the time he gets there, we read in verse 49 that over 14,000 have already fallen dead. But Aaron gets there. And in verse 49, we read that verse 48, that he stood between the living and the dead, making atonement, making intercession. And in this case, there is no animal, there is no sacrifice other than Aaron himself. Aaron is the Lord's chosen priest, placing his body between the wrath of God and these rebellious sinners, offering intercession, offering himself as atonement, and as a result, we see that the plague stops. He prevents those who remained alive from joining those who had already been judged. Well, of course, you see, this is a beautiful, wonderful picture of the gospel. The picture of God's chosen priest making atonement, making intercession, and carrying out the task that was appointed to him by God, and standing between his wrath and the judgment of sinners in procuring for them life. It has all the components of the gospel. The shadows are there. The truths are there. The signs are there. But we will see that while the plague stops at this point and the people are saved for the time being, the threat of God's judgment will remain and will continue. And in fact, as we continue to make our way through this book of Numbers, we will see that God's wrath will come again, because in fact, what Israel needed was not just a picture of an atonement, was not just the sign of a priest, was not just human intercession. What Israel needed was a perfect priest. The perfect atonement, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect intercession. And of course, that's what only Jesus Christ could provide. What Israel needed was someone who could end their rebellious spirit once and for all. Deal with it on the inside. Deal with it internally. And so we move into chapter 17 here, and we have a sign that points to that very truth. It's a very simple sign. The Lord tells each tribal leader to bring your staff. They're placed before the Ark of the Testimony overnight, and he tells Aaron and Moses, and in the morning, whichever staff blossoms will be the staff of the one whom I have chosen as the priestly intercessor. And so the next day, Aaron's staff sprouts, and it's demonstrated to all of the people that God had chosen Aaron and God had chosen Levites as the priestly tribe, as the tribe that would approach Aaron on behalf of the people. But there's more to this sign than just another proof that Aaron and Moses were God's chosen leaders. That's part of it. But look at this chapter twice. In verse 5 and then again in verse 10, we see that twice the Lord declares that by this sign, he will put an end to the grumbling and the rebellion of his people. Verse 5, he says, thus I will make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel. In verse 10, put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign for the rebels, that you may make an end of their grumblings against me. There's something more to this sign than just a demonstration that Moses and Aaron are God's appointed leaders. And notice that the staff does not just blossom. What does it do? It buds, and it sprouts, and it puts out fruit, and it produces almonds. What the staff becomes is an almond tree, full of life and glory and fruit. Well, what's the significance of an almond tree? Where have we seen that already in Numbers? Think back to Numbers chapter 8, and you remember the lampstand. The lampstand in the tabernacle that was hammered by hand by craftsmen, beaten of gold, and molded into an exquisite form of an almond tree, blossoming, flowering, budding, producing fruit. And you remember the significance of that lampstand. The lampstand stands on the south side of the tabernacle, casting its light forward onto the table of the showbread, where there are 12 loaves, each loaf representing a tribe of Israel. And remember that beautiful picture of God's blessing shining forth and resting upon his people, his blessing of life, his blessing of wholeness, his blessing of covenant faithfulness, his blessing of a promised future eternal rest for his people. It's the tree of life. It's a sign, it's a mark of the whole cycle of life being lived under the blessing of God, resting upon His people. And that's what you see in the budding and the blossoming and the fruitfulness of Aaron's staff. The tree is a marker. It's a reminder. It's a sign of the certain fulfillment of greater blessings to come that the Lord had promised going all the way back to Adam, all the way back to Abraham, that the Lord would bless His people generation after generation after generation. And now we have the reality to which the staff pointed. The reality to which the lampstand pointed. The reality to which the tree of life pointed. Because it's all fulfilled in the light of the gospel revealed to us in Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom the light of God's blessing shines upon His people. He is the light of God's blessing shining in this world of darkness. He is the tree of life. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The staff, the tree, the tabernacle, the lampstand, it all points to Jesus Christ as the light of the world. That the Lord is covenantly faithful to His people. And then we see their response. Verse 12 of chapter 17. The Israelites suddenly stopped their grumbling. They suddenly stopped their rebellion. They stop their complaining, and they are profoundly humbled. We are all undone. Suddenly they realize the danger of suffering God's just judgment. And here again we see that continuity of themes that runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just like these Israelites, we too are called to see ourselves as unfit to stand in the presence of a holy God. That we too are nothing more than deaf, dumb, dead sticks. Prepared for the fire, save for the sovereign grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and His blood and His priestly atonement and His priestly intercession. Without God's promise of grace, we could do nothing more than cry out as these Israelites, we are undone, we will perish, we will die. Are we all to perish? Ephesians 2 tells us we are dead in our transgressions and sin, that we are without God, we are without hope. What are we to do? How are we to live? And yet the Lord, we read, is able to take dead sticks and bring them to life. Literally overnight, take a dead stick prepared for fire. And the very next morning, it is blossoming and fruitful and life-giving and reflecting the blessing and the work of our covenant God. And so on that great day, Aaron was a blessing to the people when he came and he stood between the living and the dead and he offered intercession and he offered atonement. But Aaron himself was also a sinner. Aaron himself was also in need of a Savior. And Aaron himself was just a sign pointing to the coming of the perfect high priest, the perfect atonement, the perfect intercessor, Jesus Christ himself, who through his personal holiness and through his sacrifice on the cross would provide the blessing of God upon his people that only he could provide, that only he could merit, that only he could pour out on his children. Well, the Lord says twice here that this brings an end to grumbling, this brings an end to rebellion. How so? Well, the point is that only at the cross does grumbling cease. The only way to overcome grumbling is to contemplate the cross of Jesus Christ. When we think about the way God dealt with his very own Son in order to make us holy, how can we ever grumble? How can we ever complain? When we think about how God's own Son stepped in between the living and the dead, stepped in between God's righteousness and our fallenness, and offered himself as a perfect atonement, how can we ever doubt his goodness? When the scriptures promise to us over and over and over again that the Lord's purpose is to bless us and sanctify us and prepare us for eternal life with him in heaven, how can we ever grumble at any circumstances that come our way? The Lord's purpose is to sanctify us. The Lord's purpose is to prepare us for heaven. The Lord's purpose is to transform our grumbling hearts and to make them into thankful hearts that humbly and joyfully obey his commands and seek after him and follow after him. Painful at times, but the Lord's purpose is to perfect us. And so we look at this sign of the staff, and what we see here is a sign that speaks of life out of death. It's a sign that speaks of resurrection. It's a sign that speaks of sanctification. It's a sign that speaks of triumph. It's a sign that speaks of fruitfulness. It's a sign that speaks of deaf, dumb, dead sinners bearing live fruit. It's a sign that speaks of former rebels overnight coming in obedience to the Lord with joyful hearts and following after his commands. It's a sign that commands us to believe and to be saved. It's a sign that commands us to hear and to find eternal life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your gospel. We thank you for the love that you pour out on your people at the cost of your Son. Lord, make us holy, we pray. Put a cease, an end to grumbling. To the glory of your Son. Amen.